Good morning, and thank you, Anthea, for inviting me to come and share with you this morning. I've really enjoyed getting to know Anthea more, particularly through the Pioneer Women's Learning Community within the London region, and we've really benefited from Anthea's prophetic voice and her wisdom. So it's been really great to get to know her more, and we've had so many long-standing friends and deep connections within River Church. We respect you guys and we appreciate you, all that you contributed to our own lives, but to our network and beyond. We're really grateful to God for you. And I've been praying for you, and in this short amount of time this morning, I really pray that God would really bring alive a promise I believe he has for you, an encouragement I believe God has for you, particularly around Isaiah 54, verse 2. And really, it's about being enlarged, increasing capacity. Now, I don't know how you felt over the last 6 months with COVID, but I'm sure, like myself, it's been a time of squeezing, it's been a time of challenge. It's been a time where we've all had to adapt in every sphere of life. So it might seem a bit of a peculiar message to bring at the start of, if you like, this next academic year after the last 6 months. But I believe that often at this time of year, it's a bit like a new beginning, a bit like a new year, sort of three quarters way through the year. And I just believe that in this season, God wants to encourage us, you and I as individuals and as a whole church community, about God's promise, how he wants us to be increased. That's both internally and but also through what he wants to do in our scatteredness. And it's that I want to speak into this morning. So I want to read this particular scripture, but in a few different versions. And you might just want to close your eyes if you're not watching children or doing something which requires you might be driving, then please don't close your eyes. But if you're able to, why don't you close your eyes and just absorb these scriptures? And if you can't close your eyes, then still absorb these truths. And let's take a moment to pause and just invite the Holy Spirit to bring revelation to us through his word this morning. So firstly, from the NIV, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. In the message, it says this. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. You're going to take over whole nations. You're going to resettle abandoned cities. Don't be afraid. You're not going to be embarrassed. Don't hold back. You're not going to come up short. The New Living Translation says this: enlarge your house, build an addition, spread out your home, and spare no expense. And it says in the Voice version, enlarge your house. You're going to need a bigger place. Don't underestimate the amount of room that you'll need. So build, build, and build. Now, I love these verses, and we might be asking the question, well, what do these verses actually mean? Well, the context really is the return from the Babylonian exile, and Jerusalem is literally viewed as a woman living in her tent. And it said earlier in Isaiah 26, verse 15, you have enlarged the nation, O Lord. You have gained glory for yourself. You have extended all the borders of the land. So I think about that and I think about, well, what is it like when we need to make room? Maybe we need to reorder one of the rooms in our homes, when we recreate a room. And we need to clear out old furniture. We need to make way. Now, at the moment, particularly as a result of COVID and us having to create spaces all over the house for working space for us as a family, I'm sure you've had to do exactly the same. As we're going through another period of adjustment and one family member has gone back to their offices, We're actually looking at making one of our spare rooms. We're going to repurpose it. Where it was a bit of a bedroom and a bit of an office, we're going to repurpose it. But actually, it means that we have to clear out what there is. We've got to make space and clear out old furniture. And as I've said, all of us would have been squeezed and stretched and challenged over the last 6 months. And I guess I've been thinking about and praying about what happens internally before an expansion, before an increase has to happen and can take place. Now, I also think about when I read those scriptures, an actual physical extension. Now, when we extended part of our home a number of years ago now, it was really important to live here in our home for a period of time to really see what would work, what we could do in order to recreate space and reshape it. And I'm so pleased we didn't actually plan our extension as soon as we moved in, because in fact, our ideas changed and evolved over time. And you know that that is the case if you've been involved in a building project. It can develop and grow over time. But essentially, it does take time. When I took a sabbatical in 2017, you know, it took me time to not only plan for it, but to create space for something new to emerge. And it just didn't happen instantly, but I had to be intentional and purposeful and allow God to do an inner work in me. And I just liken that picture, if you like, to this season. So if God is actually saying to us at this time, it's a time for our capacity, for our tent to be enlarged, to be reshaped, to be extended. Well, what is it God wants to do in you and I? What does he want to do in our church community? And sometimes our capacity, if you like, can be reduced in order to make room. Maybe pruning needs to take place. Our characters are reshaped. And I guess I really do feel that this verse in Isaiah 54 is one that's going to be really key for you as a church family in the coming year ahead. So I would encourage you to write it down on your phone. Let the Holy Spirit really speak to you through this and ponder on it and meditate on it and invite God to bring his now word to you. But it's interesting, if you like, the same idea of capacity and needing more space. It occurs actually in Isaiah on various other occasions. In Isaiah 49, it says this: though you were ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, now you will be too small for your people and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement yet will say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. And I just believe that that is a word God wants to encourage you with in this season, because the church is very much compared to this as a picture. And because, I guess, of the uncertain state or condition of the tent, it's movable. In some senses, it can be seen as temporary. It's sometimes in one place and then it moves to another. And it can appear to be weak because of its covering. But it's highlighted in this scripture that actually it's time to be enlarged. There's a flexibility. There's a sense of movement about it. It's not rigid. It's not stuck. And I love that picture. I love that picture of the church. And I guess in other words, it's like the gospel should not be confined to just Jerusalem, but should take place and be expressed in other parts of Judea and in Galilee and in Samaria. And as it says, to the very ends of the earth. So that sense of God enlarging you, enlarging us, I believe God wants to really encourage us with today and at the start of this academic year. But the word curtain, if you like, in some translations could be seen as inadequate. It's commonly used to describe a cloth or hanging around a bed or a window, which may be drawn aside when something is needed, or in theatres, it's hanging at the sides in order to, if you like, cover up some of the clutter at the side of a stage. So it could feel inadequate, but however, here in Isaiah, it describes the canopy or a cloth that's used in a tent. And it's the idea that its boundaries, the boundaries of the church, were to be greatly enlarged. You know, the tents or the tabernacles had curtains, which would have been used and stretched out on poles and stakes in order to make more room to hold more people. And if you like, this may be expressed by spreading the gospel by the apostles, especially among the Gentiles, who've been said to stretch out the curtains of the tent, to stretch out the church. And when, according to their commission, they went and preached the gospel to anyone and everyone they could. Paul was an instrument of the tent being enlarged and being stretched out. And I love that, you know, we are charged, you and I are charged to enlarge the interest of Jesus and increase his church and amongst his people. And, you know, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. You know, when the curtains are stretched out, it was also necessary that the cords would be fastened and should be lengthened in order that they could reach further and wider. And actually, this is such a really clear and I think a pertinent picture for you and I today. And the tent pegs were to be driven deeply and fixed into the earth to hold the cords, to hold the pressure, to hold the curtains bound to them. And its fullness would express the enlargement of the church and the Gentile world. And if you like, this building happening, it happens when we collaborate together, when we get involved, when we get our hands dirty, where we work with one another, and that we're not alone. And the church is not merely, we're not here just to seek new converts, but to strengthen those already who are part of the body. It says in this lovely verse in one of the translations, build, build, build. There's a sense of depth. So as a sense of widening and reaching out, there's a sense of God's depth that I believe God wants to really encourage us with and underline today. You know, the multiplication that God wants to bring to us, the strengthening, which is able to support the weight of which the tents will have to cope with, the enlargement which needs to take place. I just think this is a beautiful picture. Now, your church like ours, many of us don't have buildings. And I have to say in this season, I'm actually quite relieved that we don't have some of the hassles that I know some of my friends who are responsible for churches in different parts of this nation and beyond. My goodness, they have had such challenges, and we pray for them and God's provision. But for those of us who don't have premises of our own, actually it requires us to be creative in our thinking. And I really like about our churches. We're having to be nimble and creative. We're even looking at the moment about meeting potentially in a cafe in Pret-a-Manger if we can, socially distanced. We know we can't sing. Church looks very differently. We're very tactile and we get involved. So church for us is really difficult and challenging, and please continue to pray for us as church leaders and as church communities, as we're really trying to find a way forward, which is so hard where there are so no guarantees and the landscape keeps changing. But we are having to be creative, and God is doing a work in us and through us. And I just believe that God wants to raise our hopes and our expectations about our scatteredness, about our creativity. And I just really want to touch on some, if you haven't read it, Alan Scott's book, Scattered Servants. It's an absolutely brilliant book. I recommend it. Almost, I feel it's prophetic in these days. I read it, I think, about 18 months ago. Pick it up, get hold of a copy on your Kindle. It's a really great book with lots of fantastic quotes. And I'm just going to read a couple. And Alan talks about loving your city, or I would liken that to city, towns and villages. Love your city, your towns and villages back to life. And scattered seeds is about bringing life to the city or to our towns and to our villages. And while gathered environments, he says, such as Sunday services and small groups can grow the church, only scattered servants can bring life to broken cities. And as I would say, to broken towns and villages. There's something very opportune for us in our scatteredness. You know, wouldn't it be great, as Alan says, to not just have a move of God of the church, let me just rephrase that. We don't want to move of God of the church, but we want to see God not only move in the church, but through the church. And wouldn't it be wonderful to see us as followers of Jesus, you know, not just in our gatheredness or our missing our gatheredness, which we are, and we're having to think creatively and do things online like this. But there can be something very powerful about God moving through us, and a move of God of the church, not just in the church. And we know it's not hard to make disciples, but the call is to make disciples who change our cities, our towns and our villages. And even though gathered environments, again, Alan says, grows churches, scattered servants reach cities, reach towns, reach villages. There are opportunities for you and I in these days. And I'm just coming into land because I'm looking at the time. And essentially, the definition of a scattered servant, as Alan puts it, is a movement of people empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent to bring life to cities. Again, he says this in his book, broken cities need something more than bigger churches, better services. They need a new reality, an alternative story. They don't just need culturally relevant churches. They need the church to show up beyond the building, tender hearts who show up with love and grace. And I know that that resonates with you. It resonates with us in terms of our ecclesiology, you know, the way in which we do church. There's something very powerful about our scatteredness and many opportunities that we have in these times. I'm sure you've done, as many of us have done, set up WhatsApp groups and contacted our local communities to ensure support in the COVID season. You know, we did this before lockdown, many of us. And the stories about connecting with our neighbours has been incredible. Wouldn't it be wonderful to keep praying into our connectedness? We don't want to just revert back into how life was. We want to explore a deeper work, a deeper connection, and an opportunity for that life that's within us to be caught by others who we journey with. You know, we want to be a movement of sent people, a mobile church, a church which our mission replaces location. You know, the word sent in the Bible is apostolos. It's not a biblical word, but it's a cultural term which Jesus used in his time to help his followers understand his message. Apostles were sent by the emperor or Caesar to establish the culture of the empire in every corner of the earth. And sent communities carry an expectation of introducing the culture of the kingdom to impacting culture in the surrounding cities and towns and villages. So as sent ones, you and I, we have a mandate to introduce new possibilities and capacities into every sphere of society and humanity. And again, as Alan says, scattered servants are sent people because God is a sending God. You know, we see this with Moses being sent into Egypt, Jonah into Nineveh, prophets to remind people of God's favor and consequences of rebellion. John the Baptist, who went ahead to prepare the way, the early followers who were sent. You know, we want more than powerful moments in the church. We want power as church. And we know the Spirit of God has not been given for us simply to have more dynamic gatherings. And isn't it more at this time that's been underlined? You know, we don't have the security or the safety of what's familiar to us. We're having to explore different ways of connecting as a people of God. But God has given us his authority to awaken, if you like, the authority of adventure. He wants his kingdom to be advancing, and not through just lots of activity, but through authority. And that increases with intimacy. And our mandate is to create a place where God's presence is welcome in our homes, in our localities, all the places where we connect. So I want to really encourage us this morning, as Alan Scott does in Scattered Servants, loving our cities and our communities, our towns and our villages back to life. You know, God is concerned about our love for our cities and our towns and villages, not just the leadership of our cities. And I like this. He says, scattered servants don't just take their cities for God, but scattered servants wash the feet of their cities with God. We're not just consumers. We all have a story to tell, and we all have unique stories and encounters which others around us, especially in these times, are more open to. So I want to encourage us this morning. to allow, if you like, a prayer of the deep work of God in all the preparation he's been doing in us, to send us, to enlarge us, especially in our scatteredness. So let's allow the Holy Spirit, as it says in NIV, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So I want to pray for you and I today, and in this new season ahead, let's allow that promise and those words in scripture and God's promise to you and I to take our stories, to take this wonderful message in our normality, in the abnormality of this new normality. Let's take the Spirit of God into all the places where God would take us. And let us be that shining light. Let us be freshly committing to pray for our families, for our neighbourhoods, and in our scatteredness, let's look for the opportunities, of which there are many. It feels like almost prophetically God has been shifting our focus in terms of the localities. There's so much for you and I to explore. So I pray in this season, would you be encouraged? Would you allow God to burst creativity to the hilt in our businesses, in our places of work, in our families, in our neighbourhoods, in all spheres where God would take us? Would this be a fresh time for you and I to be sent, to be scattered, and to be a people who will be enlarged both inwardly and in our church community? I pray blessing on you, my friends.